This morning, we are going to be sharing one of the invitation calls that Jesus gives us in the book of Acts, or not the book of Acts, the book of Matthew. And we must remember that the context of what we're going to be sharing today is the Old Testament, even though it's found in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 1. Jesus lived his entire life on this earth, physical life, under the Old Testament. Now, it's strange for us to think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the Gospels, are not a part of the New Testament because they're categorized, and I know as long as I've been alive, they've been categorized as the first four books of the New Testament. Well, technically, that is not correct because the New Testament really doesn't start until Acts 2, chapter 2. That's when the New Testament starts. And the reason that I share that with you is because Jesus is addressing the Jews. This is a prophecy of invitation that he gives to the Jews that they reject. And it's a scathing indictment of how the Jews prophetically would deal with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one whom they were looking forward to his coming. And so let's just dive into the scriptures and see what Jesus has to say as he compares the kingdom of heaven to a wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them, 'Come,' but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to the field, another to the business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked him, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" As we look at this passage of scripture, Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven to the history of God's call, his choosing of the Israelite people, his call of to the Israelite people, and the preferred status that the Jews have. And he's inviting them to this great banquet, eternal life that God has prepared for his people and all who love him. As we look at this passage of scripture, Jesus is definitely addressing the Jews. And he has this great banquet. We read about it in the Bible. We talk about the goal of our spiritual lives, to live with God in heaven. And that is the goal of our spiritual life. Who here does not want to go to heaven? Well, if you say no, we've got some work to do yet. All of us want to go to heaven because what we know about heaven that has been recorded for us about heaven is someplace that we know that we're going to be with Jesus. It's beyond our wildest expectations. And no matter how smart you are, you cannot really tell me what heaven's going to be like because we can't describe it. John tries to describe it in the book of Revelation, what heaven looks like. But I don't think he he had the ability to describe what heaven was like, so he used illustrations that we could relate to understand the splendor of heaven. When we begin this passage of Scripture, and it's a continuation of the invitation that God gives to his people, that is a continuation that God gives to all people. And so the invitation is to come into a relationship with God and prepare yourself for the banquet. Now, I didn't live back then, so I don't know this to be true, but I read it. And you know, everything you read is true. But if you were a wealthy person and you were privileged to be invited to the wedding of a son or a daughter or someone in that family, that this wealthy person would buy you and provide for you the wedding clothes that you were to wear. Now, that sounds like a pretty good deal. How many of you ever been in a wedding besides your own? Had to rent a tux? Had to get a suit or something like that? You know, yeah, you had to do all that. But in this case, it was all provided for you. All you had to do was clean yourself up a little bit, put on these clothes, and present yourself at the wedding banquet. Now, you didn't need an invitation because the clothes that you wore signified that you were a preferred guest. The clothes got you in to the banquet. And so as they would come and enjoy the banquet, everybody was dressed in the wedding clothes. Everybody there was recognized for being there for the purpose of celebrating the wedding. Now, Jesus says in this thing, he says, okay, everything's all set. Now all you got to do is come. Get ready to come to the banquet. It's cooked. It's prepared. It's on the table. All you have to do is put your wedding clothes on and get to the banquet and enjoy the banquet. I don't know about you, but the idea of a banquet sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? You don't have to cook it. You don't have to set the table. You don't have to do the... It's a banquet. It's taken care of. All you have to do is clean up, dress up, and show up. And then you can enjoy the banquet. But what happens? Jesus slaps the Jews in the face with the reality that he has invited them into this extraordinary relationship that is like a marriage feast. That is the symbol of it, because now they are unified with God as the head of their people. And what does it say that they do? They didn't listen. Some went on to their businesses. Some had other things to do. Some had that was the only day they had to sleep in. Some had, well, I'm going to Aunt Fanny's house this week. Some had, and there's thousands of reasons why they didn't come to the banquet, even though it was the most prestigious and most elite place to be, they had other things that seemed more important. Wow. When we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves in light of God's invitation to each one of us to have a relationship with him, are we too busy? Can we not be troubled to cultivate and nurture a relationship with the one who offers us more than anybody else or anything can offer us in this world? And to go to a place that we can't even imagine in our mind, it's so great. Can we possibly, in all rational thinking, be too busy to accept an invitation for that? Because there's only one invitation. There's only one party in town. There's only one person giving us the invitation, and it only has one source for the invitation. And it has complete and utter good for all who would accept the invitation. It is the best that we can ever experience in this life, invitation. It is above and beyond and more valuable and precious than anything else in this world. Are we too busy? And if all those things have been prepared by our Heavenly Father in advance for each and every one of us in a relationship with Him, can we legitimately say, can we without consequence say, I'm too busy, come back when it's convenient for me? I think there's a song in the hymnal written just about like that, isn't there? Come back, almost persuaded, at one more convenient time. Are we too busy to cultivate and develop that relationship with Christ? And that's exactly what Jesus was indicting the Jews of. You know the history because you are the history. You've passed it down. You've walked the roads. You have had the experiences. You saw Goliath fall. You saw the walls of Jericho fall. You saw all the, it's recorded. It's in your oral history. You know all that stuff. And you're looking for the Messiah. And the Messiah's here. And He's sending you the invitation. And you're killing the people who are giving you the invitation. This is what you've done. It's a scathing indictment to the Jews. And it says that they were too busy. They didn't heed it. So He sent out messengers. Maybe there's a mistake. Maybe they didn't understand that this is the day. But He says, no, tell them. I've killed my oxen and the fatted calf. Everything's ready. And what did they do? Some ignored them and went off to work. Now that's, I would always choose that over a banquet, wouldn't you? I got to go to work. No, we're paying you for the day. You don't have to go to work. No, I'd rather go to work. And so it says, another went to his field to pull weeds. You know, when we were kids, we earned money by walking through these rows of beans and pulling out the weeds in the beans. And it was almost inevitable that it was in the hot part of the summer. And we didn't do it when it rained. We did it when the sun was beating down and everything was growing. And we had to pull the weeds. No, some of them said, no, I'd rather go pull weeds in the field. And others were so mad at the invitation that they just took the messengers, they beat them up and killed them. Look at the history of what the Jews did to the prophets. The messengers who were sending the invitation to come to this great banquet that would happen as God orchestrated it in the context of His time, to come together with all the Jews and all the Gentiles that God has invited to the banquet. And so after they had killed them, the king was, well, let's just put it mildly, he was ticked off. And he was so upset with people not accepting, because this was his son. He loved his son. And there's going to be a big celebration. I want everybody to celebrate with me together. And so what does he do? He takes his army and he sends them out to those people that murdered the people that were given the invitations. And he not only killed them, he burned their city. They have no place in the kingdom. Now that's scary to me. Because if I ignore this amazing invitation, if I reject it, if I kill the message of the invitation in my life and in my heart, what's going to happen to me? Because this invitation was given in the purest form of love with the greatest hope of a realization for any and all of humanity. What's going to happen to me? Oh, I know you didn't mean it. Nope, that's not it. Well, we're going to overlook it. Nope, that's not it. I'm going to be destroyed, and I'm going to be taken to a place or thrown in a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as I think about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, aside from the torture, how about the remembrance of, hey, I had this invitation. All I had to do was go enjoy the banquet. Wow, it was so simple. And it was so real. And now look where I am. And friends, A lot of preachers don't want to tell you about where I am or where I could be. We talk about the good stuff. We talk about God's grace, which, by the way, we undersell or oversell, whichever the case might be. We talk about a loving God who wouldn't hurt anybody. I don't read that. I read of a loving, faithful, just God. And what he has said is true, it's faithful, and it's just. And when he says those who refuse and reject and violate these principles that I have given to you in this offer of an invitation to be in relationship with me, if those are violated, you will be cast out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where the fire and the worm, the spirit, never dies. Historically, and we can read the words in this history book right here. We can read the words how the Jews rejected the Messiah. Not all Jews, but many did. And enough rejected him that they put him on a cross. And so as these things were beginning to unfold, and in just a few days they were going to unfold, God says, okay, they have rejected the best thing that would ever happen in their life. They've rejected it. And I want heaven to be full. Because, you know, I'm complete in myself, but I just love to see others filled with joy and wowed beyond their wildest imaginations. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and turn over every rock. And if you find somebody laying under that rock, you invite them to this banquet. If you see some drunk on the corner and he's laying there in his vomit, you bring him to the banquet. If you see someone who has a terrible reputation, you invite them to my banquet. And if you see somebody that just seems like the greatest guy in town, invite him to the banquet. I want everybody to come to the banquet. I want everybody to know and to taste what heaven's going to be like. And so they did. And Jesus gives us our wedding clothes. Did you get yours? Did you get your wedding clothes? Well, it's recorded for us what our wedding clothes look like. Put on righteousness. That's part of your wedding clothes. Put on the Spirit. That's part of your wedding clothes. Put on Christ. That is your wedding clothes. And when you come to Christ at this great banquet, we're all dressed up, identified through the Holy Spirit, that we have the wedding clothes of the banquet on, that we are a part of this great celebration of Jesus Christ and the coming of his kingdom. It's pretty simple. We are going to look alike. When people see us in the congregation, well, you've seen one, you've seen them all, and that's absolutely right, because we're all covered with the same spiritual clothes. But there is one rebel in every crowd. And this guy came to the banquet thinking he was getting a freebie. He didn't put on his wedding clothes. And as they were sitting there, and I'm sure he was stuffing down that turkey leg, and he was doing all this stuff. Oh, I guess it was a fatted calf. He was eating beef. And so as he was stuffing this stuff down, the master of the banquet came in the midst of the great celebration of the church. And he recognized that there was this dude sitting out there that looked different than everybody else. And friends, that's one time it's not good to look different than everybody else. And that is the good time to look like everybody else. And so God comes to him in the middle of the banquet, and all eyes are on God as he goes to this place and focuses on this one individual which, by the way, represents a group of individuals. And he says, friend, how did you get into this celebration without your wedding clothes? Did you remember what he said? What did he say? He didn't say anything, did he? He was busted. He was speechless. The indictment was certain and complete in his mind and in his heart because he knew he didn't have the wedding clothes. So how important is it for us to gather in this place in preparation for the great banquet that we have the wedding clothes on? Because what if it was a surprise wedding banquet? Ever been to a surprise party when only you are surprised? Ever been to one of those? Yeah, I've honestly never been to one, because even if it was in my honor, somebody spilled the beans, so it wasn't a surprise. But if the time of the banquet was going to be sprung on you on the spur of the moment, should you not be ready for the invitation? Should you not be ready to go to the banquet? Yes, we should be ready to go to the banquet. Jesus talks about being prepared. It's this parable of the 10 virgins. Five of them came prepared with extra oil, and five of them didn't. And when the guys the ladies were running out of oil, five of them begged the others for oil, and we might not have enough for ourselves. That sounds selfish, but no, it's true. Because they were prepared, they weren't prepared, so they went to get prepared. And while they were getting prepared, it was too late because the bridegroom came and shut the door. And no matter how they pounded on the door and screamed and yelled and wailed, oh, we were just getting oil for our lamp. Says, get away, it's too late, the door's shut. Friends, there is a limit on the invitation that God gives us. And that invitation runs out the minute we stop breathing air on this earth. But he's given us a lifetime, no matter how long it is, how short it is, that's immaterial. He's given us time when we can comprehend the invitation to respond to the invitation, and not according to our own terms, but according to his, because it's his party. When we try to change the rules for his party, when we want to change the decorations, when we want to change the menu, when we want to do all these changes, or I think God's just going to be so blessed because I'm here. I don't think he's too impressed with any of us, because what I read is that we all sin and we all fall short of God's glory. And I also read that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life that he freely gives to all who would believe in him. Friends, the invitation is nothing to trifle with. And he gives it to all people. And so after the servants have come, they have tied him hand and foot. They have cast him out of the banquet forever. No chance to get back in. And then the outer darkness, the host, God, looks at the audience. Looks each one of them in the eye and says, you were called. You were called. You were called. You were called. Many are called, but few are chosen. And friends, the ones who are chosen are the ones who have put on Christ, who have put on righteousness, who have been obedient to God's word, the completeness of his word, not just a segment, not just part of it, not just what we believe, they believe, who believes, but obedient to God's word in spirit and in truth. Those are the ones who will rejoice and be filled with all the expectations that they have at the fruition this banquet. Look in the mirror, whatever you do, and remind yourself that you are invited. Dress up. Get ready to go. Be prepared for the great banquet that God has prepared for those who are chosen, who do it His way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, don't even know what to say because I look in the mirror and sometimes I'm not ready. I'm not dressed. Father, in a world filled with so many things that seem so real, there's only one real thing that we can hang our hat on that is true, is everlasting, and that's You. So as You invite each one of us to Your great banquet, to that great gathering of Your children in the sky, Father, we ask that we, no matter what anybody else does, that we might be prepared and accept that invitation because everything depends on it. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.